Take your Bible, Matthew 14, Matthew chapter 14. Very familiar scripture in this chapter. You should know what it is all about. I've preached on it many times over the years, I guess. They're in the middle of a storm in the latter part of this chapter. And I preached not too long ago on when your boat gets full out of Mark chapter 6. We looked about the boat, or Mark chapter 4, excuse me, about the boat getting full, Jesus still on board. But here is a time when they're in the middle of a storm. But prior to that, Jesus has fed the 5,000. And I want to preach tonight having a thought on 12 full baskets and a boat loaded down. And so when we look at this, I want you to think for just a minute. I want you to keep in mind while I preach on what happened to those 12 full baskets that these boys seen and that these boys got. I want you to think about that while I preach tonight. You keep in your mind where those 12 baskets went to, and I believe it'll help us tonight. As we look in verse 20 of Matthew chapter 14, the Bible says, "And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full." And we understand what is taking place here. Jesus has fed the 5,000with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And the Bible said in verse 21, "And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides the women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there long. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased, and they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Now, if I could look at this tonight out of this chapter, now remember, John the Baptist has just been beheaded in the first part of the chapter. And now Jesus has fed the 5,000 and took up 12 basketfuls. And as I preach this, I want to remind you of that. Jesus has taught all day right here just about at this portion. He has fed the 5,000. He is sending them away. Let me say that. He's not taught. He's fed them. And he sent them away, and he goes up on the mountain to pray. We all know the story out of Mark 6. I've preached on it many times. That as they get out in the middle of that storm, or in the middle of the sea, the storm blows up, and Jesus sees them toiling in rowing. Let me say tonight that there's many times in the middle of the storm that we're toiling and rowing. I really believe all those boys wanted to do was get to shore. It didn't matter if they got to where they were going. They just wanted to get somewhere that they could find some peace and comfort to help them. Let me ask you tonight, how many of you have ever been in a storm where it didn't matter if you got to where you were headed? You just wanted to get off on the side and find some peace and quiet to yourself. I've been there a time or two in life that I just wanted the storm to quit raging in my mind and in my heart. I just wanted some peace and quiet that I could just talk with God and that I could just get focused on some things instead of the storm. And so they pulled and rowing all night and they were just trying to get somewhere.
But the Lord comes, the Bible said, here in verse 25, in the fourth watch of the night, the darkest part of the night, Jesus comes walking to him, walking to them, and he tells them, he says, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Now the storm has not ceased. You need to understand that. It's not quit. The winds are still boisterous. The waves are still blowing. But it is Jesus that came walking on the water. Instead of them to get to a place where they might find peace and quiet, Jesus has come to them. Ain't you glad tonight that the Lord will come to you in the midst of your storm, in the midst of your darkness, and the bad time of your life? Christ Jesus will come to you. I'm glad of that tonight, that He's my friend and that He cares for me. 1 Peter 5 and 7, casting all you care upon Him, for He careth for you. But I want you to notice what happens right here. The only place in Scripture that we find this, out of the other two, I believe it's in Mark and John, we find this story, but we don't find this about Peter. And Peter looked up and he seen the Lord coming, and he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And the Lord said, come. And so Peter gets out of the boat and gets into the water. And now, how many of us would have got out of the boat into the water? But I often wondered right here as I read this, he said, Lord, if it be Thou, had He not already said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter said, Lord, if it's really You, then bid me come. Can I ask you a question tonight? How many of us have, in our midst of our storm and our darkness, heard the voice of the Lord and seen Him come by and still wondered if it was really Him or not? Still wondered if it was the Lord that accomplished those things that was there. And Peter said, Lord, if it's You, bid me come. And He says, come. And Peter was come down out of the ship and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? If I could preach tonight on 12 full baskets and a boatload of doubt, as we deal with doubt tonight, first of all, to doubt means to be uncertain of something. Have you ever doubted about some things? Have you ever just doubted about somebody, whether you could depend on them or trust them with what you need to trust them with? The word doubt means to waver in your opinion. It means to question or hold questionable. It means to distrust or to be filled with fear. And I'll deal with that here in a minute. Or it means to be suspicious or apprehensive of what's going on. And I can imagine in these 12 disciples' lives right now, after they had been out there, when they pushed off from shore, the light was still shining. The Bible tells us that. And they get out there in the middle and they have toiled and rowed all night long. They're tired. They're wore out. No doubt they're fearful. And then here comes Jesus walking on the water. And Peter says, Lord, if it's You, let me come out there to You. You know, sometimes you're better off to stay in the boat and let the Lord come to you. Think about that for just a second now, okay? I'm not saying it's always better. I'm just saying sometimes it's better. That's where He was headed. He was headed to His disciples. He saw them toiling and rowing. But I want you to notice that Jesus, at the end of it all, He said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? What made Peter doubt? What makes us doubt the Lord? What makes us doubt the power that He has? What makes us doubt that He can help our life, or bring us through a storm, or bring us out of a situation that we don't even know what's up, let alone sideways and everything else? And He says that you doubted. Why? What did it say right here? The Bible said that, first of all, that he done what? When he looked up, he saw that the wind was boisterous. He was afraid. Have you ever been fearful of anything? Have you ever been afraid of anything? Think back to when you were a child and maybe you were afraid of the dark. Maybe your children have been afraid of the dark. That thing, you can tell them not to be afraid of the dark, but I'm going to tell you what, you can tell me all day long not to be afraid of some things, but until I get it convinced in my mind and in my heart, you're not going to change my mind. And he walks out, and listen, he knows that Jesus is standing in front of him. He heard him. He heard him say, "Peter, come." He heard him. He sees him out there. But yet somewhere in the midst of hearing him and seeing him, he sees the waves. And he feels the wind blow upon his face. And those things are between him and Jesus. It wasn't just a straight path there, if you let me say that. There was waves rocking back and forth. No doubt those boys were tired, and you about know now, Peter was tired. He had rocked in that boat all night. He had toiled in that boat all night. And they go out, listen, and fear sets in. How many times have we just known that the Lord was going to do something? And we step out on faith. I mean, listen, things has not been the best. Things ain't been going well. But listen, we can see Him. We've got a clear picture of Him, a clear view of Him. And then all of a sudden, more waves and more rain and more darkness. Peter began to sink because the Bible said right here that he was afraid. Fear, as you've heard me say many times, is a motivator, but it's also a debilitator. It can make you freeze in your spot and not be able to move. My wife the other night was just the opposite. We were coming home. Well, you're talking about a motivator. We'd come home the other night from over to her mom and dad's, and we were headed up the steps onto the side porch there, and I know she'd been a little dizzy-headed. And so as she was going up the steps, she began to come backwards off the steps. And I grabbed her and got ready to push her up on her because I thought she was falling down. And she begins to holler, "No, no." I mean, I thought, man, our neighbors are going to think something bad going on around here. And there was a bug on our front porch about that big. According to her, it's about that big, flying around up there. And yes, she told her mama, she said, "It's about that big." It was about that big. I tell you, I don't know if it's a big peacher bug or what it was. But fear had her motivated to get away. If Miss Sarah was here tonight, she hates bugs worse than Miss Kelly does. She will freeze up sometimes. It becomes a debilitator. And Peter, he got afraid. And sometimes in the midst of the storm, and listen, in the midst of whatever everything is going on around us, that fear takes control of us. And we really don't know what's up, or we don't know what's down. We don't know, because this thing has consumed us. It has consumed our mind and consumed our heart, and it dwells in our mind all day and all night long. We go to bed thinking about it and wake up thinking about it. When it's in our heart and our mind, we're not real good to the Lord. Peter was not in a place to where he could be real functional for the Lord when he was sinking in the water, floundering in the water, if you'd let me say that. David said in Psalms 56 in verse 3, he said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee." That's easy to read, but hard to do. It's easy for me to tell you to trust in God. Put your faith in Him and let Him handle it when you just don't know. You ever just been in a place you don't know? Maybe I don't know. Maybe I'm just preaching to me tonight. I don't know. But the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7, "For when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, But we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings. Within were fears. Paul said, inside of me was fear that was about to overtake me. But the Lord also went on to say, nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. He sent him some help. A lot of times in the middle of our storm and in the middle of our darkness and in the time of our doubt, He will help us. So we notice that fear. Have you ever just been afraid of the situation? Have you ever been afraid if the Lord was really going to do what He said He was going to do, if He was going to come through like you thought He was going to come through? He began to seek because he was afraid, because he was fearful, but he had an abundance of fear, but a lack of faith, didn't he? Because the Lord asked him, O thou of little faith. Now, by the way, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the Lord was rebuking Peter while he had him out there on the water. Ain't that what your Bible says? He grabbed him by the hand and said, O thou of little faith. In the midst of his storm and in the midst of his trial, the Lord's rebuking him over here. But the Lord did have him by the hand. Peter knew he was secure and he knew he was going to be okay. But he had lack of faith. Now let me ask you something. In the midst of all this, where's them 12 baskets at? You say, what? Just think about them 12 baskets for just a second. It's hard to have faith when you have fear. And listen, I know the Lord don't want us to be a fearful people. I understand that. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of joy, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Listen, Jesus tells him, you're of little faith. And I believe sometimes He tells me the same thing. Oh, thou have little faith. Have faith. Trust what I've told you. You've read my book. You know what the book says in certain situations and what to deal with. Listen, the Bible tells, what is it? Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Trust the Word. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, if you come to me and back to get saved, I've saved you. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to see you through. But again, it's easy for me to stand up here and tell you that. If I asked you tonight, how many knows who William Cooper is? Last name spelled C-O-W-P-E-R. But it's pronounced Cooper. How many of you know page 379 in the Redback book? There is a fountain filled with blood. He wrote that song. But you know one thing that, or more than one thing, William Cooper, you know what he dealt with? He dealt with depression and he dealt with panic attacks. And all through his life, he dealt hard with having security of his salvation. He dealt with the doubt all his life. But yet he wrote that song, page 379, there is a fountain filled with blood. And so what I'm coming to is it's easy for me to tell you to trust the Lord and don't fear. It's easy for me to tell you don't have doubt. But I'm going to tell you there are times that doubt is going to slip into our life. And if we let it have control of us, it will rule us. And it will cause us to sink. Where's them 12 baskets at? He's doubted. He's not trusted, but he's doubted. I think personally that those two, you can argue with me all you want to, and that's fine, but I think personally that there were 12 baskets took up for 12 disciples. And nonetheless, whether there was for those disciples or not, I do know that he fed the 5,000 and took up 12 baskets full. Less than 12 hours ago, when they're in the middle of that storm, Jesus fed 5,000 and had 12 full baskets. And by the way, the Bible said full baskets. Personally, I believe them boys were stumbling all over them baskets while they were toiling and rowing. Personally, I believe when Peter got out to walk on the water, he had to step over one of the baskets to get out into the water. Sometimes we miss what the Lord has done for us just a few minutes ago or a few hours ago or a few days ago or a year ago that would help us in our time of doubt. How do we overcome or fool doubt? It is sent foil, F-O-I-L, means to conquer. How do we fool doubt? Simply by looking at the basket. What do you mean looking at the basket? The basket is a reminder of what He done. The basket is a reminder that He took 5 loaves and 2 fishes, blessed them, broke them, fed 5,000 people, and then filled 12 baskets full. What are you getting at, preacher? I'm getting to the point that when we're fearful, And our faith is lacking, we need to remember the baskets that God has gave us in our life. To look back at the times that He has done something for us. Has He ever done anything for you? Has He ever made Himself known to you? Has He ever made Himself real to you? He's made Himself real to me many times. Just little things. Answered prayers. Times that He's come by and comforted you and took care of you in your darkest time, and grace was so real, and it was a time when you had no fear. It was a time when, listen, that you should have had fear probably, but He just took care of all of it. We find those 12 baskets and are reminded that He is in control of it all. We find those 12 baskets in our life. I was just thinking today. It's just those little things. Just that little stuff. I haven't been pastoring here long, and it may not mean much to you, but this still means a whole lot to me. And so I remembered in my mind when He comes by and jogs me of it. I'd got in the groove of so much of just preaching off of an outline that the thought of not having an outline scared me dead. And I think preacher ought to study. That don't always mean that the preacher's going to preach exactly what he studied all the time. Now, I think the Holy Spirit has the ability to tell me what needs to be preached and give me the ability to study and give me an outline and let me preach it and sometimes not preach it. But I remember that. I probably hadn't been here a year or two. And listen, I was so fearful about that thing. And I remember that Sunday afternoon while I had studied and looked over things and got ready and everything was just the way I pretty well wanted it. Then the Lord began to deal with me about another subject. And I was getting ready. I was buttoning my shirt and putting my tie on. And boy, I began to get worried. And it was just a thought. You know, preachers have thoughts all the time. We think about messages and want to work them up in our mind. We think strange sometimes. And I remember telling the Lord, I said, Lord, if you really want me to preach that now, because He began to deal with me about that. Has the Lord ever dealt with you about something? And you know that it was Him? When you know it was Him dealing with you. I thought the other day, I thought, boy, I'm glad He deals with me in good things, but I'm glad He deals with me in correction too. He's dealt with me in correction, and I'm glad He does it. Hebrews 12 tells us that's another way that I know I'm saved, amen, is because He deals with me in correction. But I remember that Sunday night, I remember as I was sitting on the bed tying my shoes, I remember the Lord giving me the scripture that I needed to start that message with. And I thought, well, okay. And you're talking about a preacher that was fearful. I mean, I had got in the groove of doing things a certain way, in a way that was very comfortable to me. And not to mention, I just want to do right. Don't you just want to do right? Now, when I stand up here to preach, I want to do right. I mean, I want you to get what you need when you're here, and I want to get what I need. And I remember I was struggling still as we got in the car, and most of y'all know the story, and I turned the radio on, and our brother Langston is on Sunday afternoon, and he's preaching the exact scripture that the Lord had gave me before I got in the car. And I thought, well, there's my stamp of approval. That's the way we'll go tonight. And I don't remember if it was any good or not. I know I had a good time with it. I know the Lord taught me some things with that, to just have faith in Him. I remember one time standing on my front porch with my Bible in my hand. God had dealt with me so much about going out on my front porch and preaching. He said, that is the strangest thing ever. Don't you know it? And I stood there with my Bible in my hand until I was ashamed of myself. And was fixing, I mean, I didn't know what to do. And I'm thinking, man, I've got to preach. I've got to rear back and preach. And just about the time I got ready to rear back and preach, I heard voices through the woods over there. Because I kept thinking, Lord, what? This is nuts. This is crazy. I don't know who was outside. I don't know who was talking. I don't know who was where. But I ran back and preached about 5 minutes about what Christ could do for you. And then I just went nuts. I hope it helped them. See, that those times of answered prayers where He's moved like only He can. Times where His work in our life we see in those baskets. Times He was so real to us. Times that He made ways out of no ways. You say, God has never done that for me. Listen, look into His Word and you'll find out. Listen, what did David say? He said, let Thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even Thy salvation. According to Thy Word, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. For I trust in Thy Word. I trust in what He told me. When that doubt comes and reproaches on us, I can answer according to His Word. Your baskets tonight. I believe Peter had to stumble over a basket to get out of that boat. And then began to get fearful and unfaithful or unfaith, let me say that, or lack of faith, and begin to sink in the water. But 5 seconds ago, he stepped out over something that showed him what the Lord was capable of doing. 12 basketfuls and a boatload of doubt. When we get in a boatload of doubt, let's look for the 12 basketfuls. Because it'll help you. That's how I make it through some days. Is just to look back at what He's done. David said, I'll talk of your wondrous works. What Christ has done for us. Let me say tonight, you may have doubt. You may have fear. Let me say, if you're unsaved, you should have doubt and fear. You need to get saved. But listen, if you've been saved any time at all, then the Lord, you may not have seen Him do a lot for you, but look in His Word. And the more you grow in Him, the more you'll see Him work for you. And you can look back and say, boy, right there is one of those 12 baskets. Right there is another basket that I have to step over to go have doubt. Tonight, I don't know what you need from Him, but I know He can help you. Let's bow our heads tonight if we would.